Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 40 on December 15, 2018. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on the U.S. Natural Gas ETF, the S&P 500 ETF, and General Motors. And we discussed three new trades for the week on Pandora Media, Macy's, and Morgan Stanley. It's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show, or even about your own positions, feel free to reach out to me. You can email me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll honestly need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab and watch them there, or just visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, the market experienced another week of lower prices, finishing a little more than 1% lower, so not as bad as the previous week. The Dow Jones Industrial Index fell 288 points this week, ending at 24,100 points. The S&P 500 index closed 33 points lower, ending the week at 2,599 points. There are 62 publicly traded companies in the U.S. that will announce earnings this week. On Monday, we will hear from Oracle. On Tuesday, both FedEx and Darden Restaurants will announce quarterly earnings. On Wednesday, retailer Pier 1 Imports and the food giant General Mills will announce. On Thursday, we'll hear from Nike, and another food giant, Conagra, will announce earnings. And then on Friday, we'll hear from both CarMax and Carnival Cruise Lines. Now, a few weeks ago, we added a new segment of the show, and I'm going to keep it going. It's the topic of the week. And my goal with this is really to be able to cover topics that pertain to just option trading in general. And hopefully it helps you guys learn a little bit more about options and maybe understand a little bit better what I'm doing on the show and why I trade the way I do. So this week's topic is, what about the Greeks? So what are the Greeks, right? A lot of people, when they learn option trading, they are met with this new language, if you will, that they have to learn. And until they're fluent in that language, they don't feel like they can successfully trade options. So the language I'm talking about are of course, the Greeks. They are the risk sensitivities for option prices. They include delta, gamma, theta, vega, and rho. Now, each of these Greeks has a significant purpose. They are meant to help people understand options and trade. So delta lets you know how your option price will change, how the option price will change, for every $1 move in the stock that the option is based on. So if stock moves up a dollar, did my option make or lose 50 cents? And so it really is, it helps you sort of model out or truly see where prices will go as the day-to-day movement of the stock happens. And then you have gamma. Gamma is used to tell you how your delta is going to change, because for every dollar movement in that underlying stock, not only did delta change the price of the option, but the gamma is actually going to let you see how that delta changes. So when your option strike is no longer the at the money, or it becomes at the money, it responds differently to the stock movement. And so gamma really gives us a way of being able to keep track of that. Of course, theta is time value. So every day that passes, your option should be worth a little bit less because it has less time to be able to either be in the money or out of the money. So there's a time value factored into every option position. And that's why we talk about expiration every month. It's because options are sort of like a ticking, not time bomb, but it's a clock that's ticking, a timer that ticks off once a month, they expire. If you're doing the monthlies, of course, there are weekly options that expire every week, but that's neither here nor there. Then you have rho. Rho isn't talked about too often because it's all about interest rates. And We've had a rather steady interest rate environment for years, but as interest rates change, that does affect theoretical option pricing. And then Vega is, it tells you how your option price will change as volatility changes. Volatility meaning the volume, if you will, of movement in that underlying stock. So those are it, the five Greeks. And it took years to be able to speak about those like the back of my hand. Really not years, but it took me being on the floor trading options daily and understanding how my option position was changing daily to be able to speak as freely as I can about all of those. So at the end of the day, if I were managing a, you know, multi-million, if you're managing a huge, huge position, then you need to be aware of each of those sensitivities. And one of the factors, one of the reasons why it's also important is because all of the theoretical option pricing models, like the Black-Scholes equation, those are based on a concept called dynamic hedging. So it's assumed that if you buy an option with 50 delta, with a delta of 50, that means that it's going to respond like 50 shares of stock, then you're going to hedge it. And as price moves, you're going to adjust that hedge. And so that's the dynamic hedging. It's that you're going to continue to adjust the stock hedge with your options. The reality of it, though, is that for most retail investors, you're not hedging your option position with stock. You're putting on a position that will either make money or lose money, and then you'll go from there. Like, I'm not hedging the credit spreads and the debit spreads that I put on each week. First off, they have a low delta anyway, but either way, I'm not hedging those. And so if you're not focused on hedging, then delta becomes less relevant. Not irrelevant, but significantly less relevant. And if you're not dealing with delta, well, then gamma doesn't matter either, because your gamma is all about your delta. The gamma doesn't tell you how your option price changes. It tells you how your delta changes, right? And so theta is built into the option. Time value is built in either way, so we don't have to focus on that. Volatility is going to do what it's going to do, so we don't have to focus on that. And then, like I said, we've had a relatively stable interest rate environment for a while, so we really don't have to discuss rho as well. So that's why, just to bring it back, and hopefully I didn't lose any of you. If your eyes are crossing, forgive me. But that's why I don't talk about the Greeks on this show. This will be likely the only show that I talk about the Greeks. And that's because if you're not hedging with stock every position, then that completely nullifies your need for delta and gamma. And like I said, theta, vega, and rho are already built in. Now you might ask yourself, well, what about those covered calls that we do? A covered call is different than a hedged call. A covered call, when you do a covered call position, you have 100 shares of the stock for every option that you put on, that you sell. You're not selling, so we normally look at an at-the-money option and look at stock where it is. If we were just hedging that call with the stock, if we sold the at-the-money call, it's a 50 delta. So we would only use 50 shares of stock, not 100 shares of stock. So covered calls are totally different here too. That's why I really don't discuss Greeks on this show, because it tends to be a barrier. It's created a language barrier for option trading. I prefer to start off with, hey, how do I make money? Where do I lose money? Because if we focus on those things, then I can teach you options. In fact, I can make you a pretty good option trader on those alone. If we want to add the Greeks back, if you find yourself managing a large option position and you want to hedge with stock and you want to add the Greeks back, that's great. There are hundreds of books on that, and I may later on create an advanced option trading course that really does dive deeper into trading with the Greeks. I mean, that's how I started trading. But the reality of it is, for most of you, I can teach you option trading without the confusing, language of options that people have historically taught with. Like, hey, let's talk about options. Okay, this is a call, this is a put. Now you have to understand delta, and people's eyes cross over. Option trading does not have to be that hard. And hopefully, if you follow along with me week to week, hopefully this has given you a sense that not only is there an easier method for focusing on options, but you can discuss it and talk about it just from the standpoint of where do I make money, where do I lose money, and then, hey, if I lost money, what do I do next? If you actually understand options, you can figure out what your next trade is, what your next step is. You don't need to get into all of the Greeks to be able to understand options. So that's it. I hope that resonates with you guys and makes sense. And for all of you, for any of you who are, you know, hardcore professional option traders, hopefully that gives you an idea of where I'm coming from and why I discuss option trades the way that I do. And so one of the things that I mentioned last week is the course for the Option Studio. So a couple months ago, we actually had a small group of beta students come on board, and they started learning about option trading. And it's been great being able to talk to them and discuss with them, you know, not only the trades that we discuss on this show, but some of the other ones. You know, there are many more trades, you know, butterfly trades and strangles and straddles and condors and iron condors and ratio spreads and all of these different tools that you'll have at your tool, you know, in your tool belt to be able to make money trading options. So the whole goal is for you to learn and fully understand options. And so right now, I'm actually going to accept a few more students into that course, the course for the Option Studio. And this is where we talk about options, and it's a 5-week course. There's a new module put out every week. Each module has, we'll call it 6 to 8 videos. And so you can just watch one video a day if you like. And then we'll do a webinar once a week, either webinar or I'll create a video in the middle of the week just to talk about some trades and how I'm actually using this information. So it's a great way to learn option trading. I have some testimonials from folks too that have really enjoyed learning, and we're going to go deeper again with this next group of students. So if you'd like to get involved, you know, I had mentioned a Black Friday special, but rather than have it Black Friday, I decided to go ahead and announce it during the month of December and keep it for the whole month. So if you get involved, if you'd like to become a student and you take a part, you join the course over the next couple weeks, then you'll be able to get into it at a at 50% off the full price of the course. So check out the website for the Option Studio. I'm sorry. Check out the website at www.theoptionstudio.com, and you can find a video there that I recorded from a previous webinar. It'll tell you all about the course, and you can decide if you'd like to take part. All right, all of that being said, let's dive into the trades from last week. So we start off with our covered call. We were looking at the U.S. natural gas ETF. Symbol is UNG. The stock at the time was trading for $36.52, and we looked at selling the December 37 call for $2.13 against stock that we already owned, and that would have created a 7.15% return in 2 weeks. Well, the UNG ETF had a volatile week for sure. It actually fell $5.77, ending the week at $30.75. Now, we sold this December 37 call for $2.13, so the call actually lost money, but the stock fell so much that it went beyond our break-even price. So if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you'll probably know exactly how I will handle this. As a rule, I look to see if there's a way for me to lock in profit on my option and then roll the strike lower by selling another option against that stock that you own. And this stock fell $5.77, almost $6. So my goal is to turn this trade, which gave us a huge loss, into either a profit or a significantly smaller loss. So I can pay 22 cents right now to close out that December 37 call, which locks in $1.91 profit on the option itself. So that right there lowers my current loss on the strike on the stock from $5.77 to $3.86. Now, I can sell the January 31 call at $2.48. That adds a possible 25 cents of profit if the stock moves up above $31 per share. Plus, I'd get to keep the $2.48, right, that I sell the option for. So if this happens, I'd still be left with a loss of $1.13. However, that's significantly better than having a loss of nearly $6, right? Now, we also might have a chance to sell another call against the stock. So let's say that stock ends in a few weeks, in 4 weeks after January expiration, and it hasn't, I guess that's 5 weeks away, and it hasn't crossed $31 a share, but it didn't lose too much more money. It didn't go much beyond where we are now. Then we'll ultimately look at trading more options against it. You know, we might have a chance to sell another call against this stock. So ultimately, with trading options, you still have an opportunity to turn a loss into a win, or at least mitigate the risk. This is also why I don't like stock by itself. The risk in the covered call, of course, is on the stock. It's not the option, because as we speak in the show, the option has a defined risk profile from the start. And I'm also I'm always telling people about, you know, the funniest trade ever. When I had my last option trading podcast with a friend of mine that used to trade options with me at the same company, he decided he was not a believer in Tesla at the time, and he shorted Tesla stock. I mean, really early. It was like, you know, $50 a share or something like that. And this stock just rallied and rallied and rallied. And so what did he do? He didn't lock in that stock. He kept selling puts against it, and it'd rally some more. He'd sell some more put options against it, because we know that as a stock goes higher, those puts are worth less money. So as the stock moved, he keeps selling puts. And finally, it got to the point where the stock sort of tailed off, and he had sold so many puts that he actually ended up making money on that trade. He made money on a bad stock trade because he understood how to use options against his position. So it's the beauty of understanding options. Now, our next trade is going to be a credit spread. We looked at the S&P 500 ETF, the Spiders, symbol SPY, Sam Paul Yellow. Last week, it was trading for $263.57 a share, and we sold the December 267.5 call spread, collecting 18 cents. Now, it's a 50-cent wide spread, so our maximum loss would be 32 cents. Well, the Spiders ETF fell $3.10 this week. It ended the week at $260.47 per share. The call spread, which we sold, is now $6.50 out of the money. That equates to roughly 65 points in the S&P 500 index. Now, you can buy this spread in right now for 3 cents right now and lock in a 15 cent profit, or you can wait till this the end of this week, because this upcoming week, next Friday, is options expiration, so you can collect this final 3 cents next week, as long as the ETF stays below $267 per share. So the markets have been pretty volatile lately, but mostly to the downside. I'm going to stay in the trade with a quick fuse on closing it if I feel the least bit nervous about it. So if it looks like stock's going to rally this next week, I'm going to close this trade and collect my money as quickly as possible. But if stock continues to stay where it is or go a bit lower, then I'm fine leaving it on and just going ahead and taking the last 3 cents on this trade. So that one worked out. And then, of course, the debit spread as well. We looked at a debit spread last week on General Motors. At the time, stock was trading for $34.69. We looked at selling the December 35 half 35 put spread for 35 cents, with a maximum gain, of course, of 15 cents or 42% return in 2 weeks. Not bad for 2 weeks' work. Well, the spread is pricing at 33 cents right now. So it's 2 cents lower, and I'm actually going to go ahead and close this trade for essentially scratch. I mean, 2 cents isn't really a profit. This stock will likely continue to continue its rise over the next week, given the agreement by the Chinese to drop tariffs on American automobiles. So The break-even point on this trade is $35.15. That's only a nickel away from where we are right now. So I'm not going to force this trade. I'm going to walk away for a little cash, or at least enough cash to cover my commissions, and live to trade another day. So we have one loss in the covered call. We had a clear win with the S&P 500 ETF, and then we're going to call a tie or a scratch on the debit spread for the week. So as you guys know, we've been making had a series of great wins, mostly because as stock goes lower, as the overall market goes lower, if you're selling call spreads and buying put spreads, you're making money. And that's what we've been doing every week for several weeks now. Thankfully, none of you have sent me an email and said, hey, switch it up or show us something else. If you followed along some of these trades, you've seen some nice returns. And of course, this upcoming week is December expiration. So December the 21st, this upcoming Friday, will be the last day of trading for any of your December options. So they will either be in the money or they will be... If they're in the money, they're going to trade for intrinsic value, which means ultimately the amount of money that can be collected when that option is turned into stock, or they will be worthless. They'll go to zero. So hopefully, every call spread that we've sold over the last 5 weeks will be going to zero on Friday, unless something crazy happens in the market this week. So it's never good to count your eggs before they hatch, but they've been incubating, and we're close to getting some little baby chicklets of dollars soon. So one more week. And so this week, we won't be looking at any December trades. I know in the past, I get sort of antsy every now and then and start looking at December trades, or looking at 1 week option trades. And, sometimes those work. More often than not, they've blown up on me. So I'm just going to save myself the carnage and go ahead and move everything to January. So we'll start off with the covered call. First company we're looking at on this covered call is Pandora Media, symbol P as in Paul. The stock is trading right now for $8.65. I'm looking at selling the January 9 call at 18 cents against this stock that we own. That would lead to a 6% return in 5 weeks. So again, not bad. I typically am looking for 5% or more on these covered call opportunities. Now, I would enter this trade by buying Pandora Media stock for $8.65, and I'm selling the January call at 18 cents. This trade will lock in the most amount of profit, actually, if the stock goes above $9 per share before the end of January. And we also know that if stock has an adverse movement, if it goes down, I will likely look at buying in the call option, because I'll make money on this call that I sold, and then selling another call option at a lower price. That's just in general how I handle covered calls. Our second trade for the week, or for this upcoming week, is going to be a credit spread on Macy's, symbol M as in Mark. Stock ended the week at $30.61, and I'm looking at the January 31-32 call spread. I can sell it for 38 cents. And that leaves a maximum loss of 62 cents per spread. Now, you enter this trade by selling the January 31 call at $1.53 and then buying the January 32 call at $1.15. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread. And this trade makes money if stock prices stay below $31 per share. And when I look at the price chart for Macy's, they should have a good December ultimately because of the holiday season, but I am expecting that price chart to continue, the stock chart to continue to go lower, and I'm expecting to make money on this trade. And then our final trade for the week is a debit spread on Morgan Stanley, symbol MS, Michael Sam. Stock is trading for $39.64, and I'm looking at buying the January 41-40 put spread for 61 cents, which gives us a maximum gain of 39 cents, or nearly a 64% return in 5 weeks. So you enter this trade by buying the January 41 put for $2.52 and then selling the January 40 put at $1.91. This is a debit spread because ultimately we are buying the spread, and this trade makes money if stock prices stay below $40 per share. Morgan Stanley, just the same, has had a stock chart, stock price chart, that's been going lower consistently for quite a while. I look at Morgan Stanley. I look at the banks almost every week. I used to work for an investment bank, but I also, I tend to watch each of the banks. A lot of times I like a lot of trade opportunities that are in Bank of America. But if I traded Bank of America on the show every week, you guys would get bored with me. It's rare that I see an opportunity in Morgan Stanley stock or Morgan Stanley options that makes sense as far as the metrics that I look for when I'm buying or selling options. And I'm happy this trade has popped up. Now, it is unusual that they have a trade that catches my eye. So I'm going to be watching it heavily as well. But ultimately, I think this trade is going to be a good one. And I'll be buying this put spread and hoping to lock in 64% return in roughly 5 weeks of work. So that's it for this week's show. Thank you guys for listening again. If you have any questions, you can email me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. And if you'd like to get involved, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about options than what we can discuss on this show, definitely take a look at the video on the optionstudio.com webpage. That's www.theoptionstudio.com. And I'd love to have you in the class. Otherwise, have a great week. Happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.